Can you believe October's half over already? October 15th? I don't know where the days go. Does it go as fast for you young people as it does for us old folk? Well, God's going to talk to us this morning about replacements. We live in a world of replacement theology, don't we? Or technology. You can get new elbows and you can get new hips and knees, and they just replace it with plastic stuff or titanium, I don't know. So far I haven't had any of that done. But sometimes we have to be replaced. Amen to that. But if you listen to the last words of a great person, they're usually quite significant. And those words can be a window that helps us look right into that person's heart. Or it can be a tape measure that enables us to evaluate his life. We're still in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You can open up there. We're going to hear the Apostle Paul's last words to Timothy and to the church. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. If you were the coach of a team, whether it be basketball, soccer, volleyball, football, doesn't matter, and you had important words to tell your team, first thing you got to do is get their attention, right? And so, listen up. You know, that might be an approach. That woke everybody up. That might be an approach that a coach would use. He would blow the whistle, and everyone looks. They know when the coach blows the whistle, you look. And he'd say, all right, bring it around, right? I haven't done that in a long time. I'm surprised I still was able to do it. Poor people online when they listen to that. Because it was loud. So, while Paul's writing this final letter to Timothy, you know, that's what he kind of does. He blows the whistle here to get Timothy's attention. And his whistle is the use of strong language. He says, I charge you. And I know his words are looking right at Timothy. And as Timothy's reading this, probably sets him back a bit. I charge you, Timothy. Or another translation I read was, I solemnly witness before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says. So this is serious. This is a very serious moment. And Paul wants Timothy to feel the sense of the importance of this. Time is running out, and Paul knew his death was right around the corner, and he would not be able to do any more ministering. And so he takes everything he's got, his whole soul and being, and he just throws it in to Timothy to carry on the work of the ministry with as much vigor as Paul had. And we know Paul had a lot of vigor. Nothing slowed him down. But there was another fact here that Paul wants to make sure Timothy understands is that both Paul and Timothy, one day, they're going to stand before Jesus Christ and be judged. That's something we ought to think about ourselves once in a while. Not every day, but once in a while, just remember that, you know, that day's coming that we too are going to face God. And he's going to judge us with our works. He's not going to judge our sins. They're already gone. Jesus paid for them on the cross. But he's going to take and he's going to open the book. That's what Scripture says. And he's going to look at the works. And we will receive crowns based on our works. And that's what Paul was looking forward to. Now, that's not gloomy for us. That should encourage us. It's like working every day for an employer. And you know at the end of the week you're going to get paid for that work. And the more you work, more hours you put in, more pay. And so it should encourage us to do a good job for God. We should keep doing our work precisely, carefully, and faithfully. Because we're working for the Lord. No better boss than that. And we should continue on fearlessly. Have no fear. I don't know how many hundred times Jesus said in the Scriptures, don't be afraid. And Paul's main responsibility in this final letter to Timothy, he is stressing, preach the word. Preach the word, Timothy. So I had to look that up. Preach. What does that actually mean? Well, it means to preach like a herald. You know what a herald is? It was a person, usually it was a guy, in those days. And he was selected by the ruler, the king, the monarch, whoever was in charge. And it was his job to make the announcements to the people from the king. And he was to make these announcements in a loud, clear voice so that everybody would understand and they would hear it. Now, he was not an ambassador. He did not have the authority to negotiate with the public. There was no negotiating with the king. He said, thus and thus. So the herald said, thus says the king. And it was so. Every one of us is called to herald God's word. And we do that with the authority of heaven behind us. We don't do it on our own authority, so that means we don't make up, change, or alter God's word. We speak what God tells us to speak. And it's all written down here. So we don't make any mistakes. We have to be diligent and we have to be alert. So we use every single opportunity to share God's word. We share it when it is favorable and we share it when it is not favorable. Paul was one that found an opportunity everywhere to share the word. I mean, he shared it in the temple courts. He shared it on a ship in a stormy sea. He shared it in prison. Ecclesiastes 11:4. Solomon says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. What are you saying? You're saying, folks, it's awful easy to make excuses when we should be making opportunities. And we must all be witnessing for Jesus at every single chance that the Lord brings before us. So as a herald, we are God's speaker. We are his spokesperson here on earth. And we have to be patient as we share the word. Because we're not going to see immediate results all the time. I know that. I've been talking to my neighbor for years. He's not here. In God's timing, I think him and his family will come. We have to be patient when we run into the opposition. Because we just, get him out of here, Lord. I don't want to see that guy's face again. He's always needling me and calling me to task. Well, above all else, Paul says, preach the doctrine. Healthy doctrine. Don't just tell Bible stories. Don't just read a verse and then forget about it. Because really, effective true preaching is explaining and applying the Bible doctrine. Anything else is just a speech with a religious overtone to it. It doesn't go anywhere. Along with the responsibility of preaching the word that Paul says in verse 2, Paul gives us the reason why. I like to know the reason why. That's good. As a kid, how many times did you ask your parents, but why? But why? And my father would say, because I told you so. Okay. Not a good answer. I like to know why. So he says, the time is coming when most of the world, people, will not want to hear healthy doctrine. They will not want to hear the word of God. They have their carnal desires. And because they have these itching ears, was the term he used here, they're going to go seek out teachers that are going to satisfy their cravings for what they want to hear, for what pleases them. They want to leave God's congregation happy and feeling good about themselves. You're a good person. You did so much good stuff all week. I know you're going to heaven because of what you did wrong. We don't go to heaven by what we do. We go to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ. And just because a preacher has a large congregation, hundreds, thousands, that doesn't mean he's preaching the truth. It may mean he's tickling the people's ears and telling them what they want to hear, and that's why they flock to him, instead of telling them what they need to hear. You're a sinner and you need to repent. And once a person has rejected the truth, they just turn to myths and fables. That's what Paul's saying. And these myths and fables won't convict them of sin. It won't make them want to repent of their lifestyle. And what you end up with is a congregation of comfortable, professing Christians listening to a comfortable religious talk that contains no Bible doctrine. And Paul says, Timothy, preach sound doctrine. Preach the truth. Whether it's favorable or not favorable, steadfast in the truth. This emphasis of sound doctrine runs right through his three pastoral epistles. And he goes on in verse 5. He says, "But you be watchful in all things," he says. "Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." We have to fulfill our ministry. We have to carry out what it is that God wants us to do. You can't fulfill my ministry. Pearline's ministry is not the same as Joanna's. What the Lord wants Darvin to do is not the same as what he wants me to do. Timothy's was not the same as Paul's. But all our ministries are important to the cause of Christ. And no God-directed ministry is small or unimportant. It's all important to God. So if you're just a grandparent, retired and at home, and you think you're not doing anything for God whatsoever, you're wrong. You have grandchildren to influence, to bring up, knowing Christ. There was a young preacher once that complained to Charles Spurgeon. You all know Charles Spurgeon? Yeah, okay, I don't have to tell you who he was then. And he complained to him. He says, "I don't have as big church that I deserve." So Spurgeon asks him, and he says, "Well, how many do you preach to?" "Oh, about 100, the man replied. Now, that's small compared to Spurgeon, because he's, at 21 years old, was preaching to 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 people. And so, about 100. And pretty solemnly, Spurgeon says, "That's enough to give account of in the day of judgment. One grandchild is enough to account for when Jesus opens the books and he sees the work that you did. You don't need thousands. We don't need 80 people in this church. We don't measure the fulfillment of our ministry by statistics. And so many preachers do that. Oh, we tallied up 1,500 people this week. How many did you have? 15? It's faithfulness that's important. And God sees the heart. Don't we know that? He sees the heart. He knows where you're coming from. He knows what your motives are. He knows why you're doing what you're doing. And that's why he said, "Timothy, you've got to be sober in all things. And you have to be serious about your ministry." And all of us should be serious about our witnessing. Because it's not going to be an easy road. Jesus is quoted as saying, they hate me, they're going to hate you. So we can count on afflictions, verse 5. Be watchful in all things and endure the afflictions. But with the grace of God, we will be able to endure them. And we will be able to do the work that we're told to do. He says, do the work of an evangelist. Well, an evangelist was a person that went out and watered the churches that were started. You know, one plants seed, another waters, and God gives the increase. An evangelist was just a person that went around to the churches again to make sure they were still meeting, they were still hearing the truth. So he was the waterer on the seed. Timothy was told to continue the work that Paul started. And that's how it is in the church today. When the pastor moves up to the heavenly church, there's going to be a Timothy step up and continue the work. Joshua, did he not take over for Moses? Timothy took over for Paul? I'm up here standing in the shoes for Phil, who used to be here. Perlene is playing the piano for Mary that used to play the piano. And someday somebody's going to have to take over for me. Each person must fulfill their ministry. And while you're doing that, expect afflictions. But don't let them discourage you. We have to press on because it's the Lord that goes before us. He says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. See, Paul never gave up. No matter what adversary came against him, he never gave up. It's amazing. Even in prison, in stocks, he's singing praises to God and witnessing to the prisoners. And what happened? The Lord opened up the jail, dropped the chains off everybody so they could hear better, gather together around Paul and Silas that day. I finished the race, he says. I kept the faith. We have any runners here? See, I can't run. I get tired. But Paul never got tired. He never got tired of preaching God's word. We can't ever get tired of sharing, even if that same person says, oh yeah, I'll be in church Sunday, Ken, thanks. It doesn't show up. Keep going. Wait a week or two and talk to him again. Hey, I missed you at church. And he says, finally, laid up for me is a crown of righteousness. And that's what's waiting for every one of us by sharing God's word with somebody. A stranger in the supermarket. I do that a lot in the supermarket. With your children, your grandchildren, with your brothers and sisters. And God's going to open that book and you're going to get crowns that you're going to give away. And when the going gets tough, just remember the Lord is ahead of you. He's already trod that path. So follow his footsteps. Lord, Heavenly Father, strengthen us as you strengthened Paul and Timothy, give us wisdom and understanding to speak clearly and loud enough so that those that are listening can hear and understand. And we get beat up and we get kicked down, Lord. Help us to endure with your grace. And we have no anger or hatred or animosity toward those that are against us. Because we know that if the Lord is for us, there is nobody that's going to win against us. We come to you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.